Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
We're reading from 12th canto, chapter 9, entitled Markandeya Rishi Sees the Illusory Potency. So we'll read texts 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, and this is we have one there. We'll take six as well. Okay, let's see the first text. Please repeat responsibly. Sutta Vacha Samstuto Bhagavan Nitam Markandeyena Dimata Narayano Narasakha Vita Aha Brigudvaham Sutta Vacha Sutta Vacha Sutta Goswami said Samstutaha properly glorified. Bhagavan, the Supreme Lord, Idham, in this way, Markandeyena, by Markandeya, Dimata, the intelligent sage, Narayana, Lord Narayana, Narasakha, the friend of Nara, Prita, satisfied. Aha, spoke. Brigudvaham, the most eminent descendant of Brigu. Translation. Sutta Goswami said, the Supreme Lord Narayana, the friend of Nara, was satisfied by the proper glorification offered by the intelligent sage Markandeya. Thus the Lord addressed the excellent descendant of Brigu. Text 2. Shri Bhagavanu Vacha Bhogo Brahmasi Varyosi Siddhatma Samadhina Mahi Bhaktyana Pyainya Tapasvadhyaya Samyamai. The Supreme Personality of God had said, my dear Markandeya, you are indeed the best of all learned Brahmanas. You have perfected your life by practicing fixed meditation upon the Supreme Soul, as well as by focusing upon me. Your undeviating devotional service, your austerities, your study of the Vedas, and your strict adherence to regulative principles. So the Lord is acknowledging how Markandeya Rishi has perfected his life by devotional service, austerities, study of the Vedas. Text 3. Vayante pratista vayante pratis vayante prat prat praitusta can't see it, sorry. Vayante paritustasma vad brihad bratacharyaya Varam praticha badram te varado smitvat ipsitam. We are perfectly satisfied with your practice of lifelong celibacy. Please choose whatever benediction you desire, since I can grant your wish. May you enjoy all good fortune. Purport. Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur explains that the Lord used the plural form in the beginning of this verse. We are satisfied, because he was referring to himself along with Shiva and Uma, who will later be glorified by Markandeya. The Lord then used the singular I am, the bestower of benedictions, because ultimately only Lord Narayana, Krishna, can award the highest perfection of life, eternal Krishna consciousness. Shri Rishi Uvacha Jitam Te Deva Devesha Prapanarti Harachuta Vare Natvai Talam Vare Nai Tava Talam No Yad Bhavan Sam Dishayata. The sage said, O Lord of Lords, all glories to you, O Lord Achyuta, you remove all distress for the devotees who surrender unto you, that you have allowed me to see, that you have allowed me to see you is all the benediction I want. Text 5. Gritva jadayo yasaya srimat padam jadarshanam manasa yoga pakvena sabhavan mekshi gocharaha. Translation. Such demigods as Lord Brahma achieve their exalted positions simply by seeing your beautiful lotus feet after their minds have become mature in yoga practice. And now, my Lord, you have personally appeared before me. Purport. Markandeya Rishi points out that exalted demigods like Lord Brahma achieve their positions simply by glimpsing the Lord's lotus feet. And yet Markandeya Rishi was now able to see Lord Krishna's entire body. Thus, he could not even imagine the extent of his good fortune. Text 6. Atapi ambuja patraksha punya shloka shikamane drakshe mayam yaya loka sapalo veda sarpidam. Translation. O lotus-eyed Lord, O crest jewel of renowned personalities, although I am satisfied simply by seeing you, I do not wish to see your illusory potency. I do wish to see your illusory potency, by whose influence the entire world, together with its ruling demigods, considers reality to be materially variegated. Purport. A conditioned soul sees the material world to be constituted of independent, separate entities. Actually, all things are united, being potencies of the Supreme Lord. Markandeya Rishi is curious to witness the exact process by which Maya, the Lord's bewildering potency, cast living beings into illusion. Om Agena Timirandasya Gyananjana Shalakaya Chakshuran Militam Hena Tasmei Shri Guruve Namaha Shri Chaitanya Manabhishtam Stapitam Vena Bhutale Svayam Rupa Kadam Mahyam Dadati Svam Panantikam. He Krishna Karuna Sindhu Dinabandhu Jagatpate Gopisha Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namostute Tapta Kanchana Gaurangi Hare Vrindavaneshwari Vrishabhanu Sute Devi Pranamami Hari Priye Vancha Kalpa Tarubhyascha Kripa Sindhubhyeva Cha Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavyo Namaha. Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Garadhara Shivasari Gaur Bhakta Vrinda. Hare Krishna 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 Hare Hare, Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare. So in this particular chapter, after Markandeya Rishi, the great sage from the Bhrigu dynasty, offered one pointed devotional service to the Supreme Lord through his austerities, meditation on the lotus feet of the Lord. Then Krishna appeared to him as Nara Narayana Rishi, and he was very pleased because of these austerities. We remember how Markandeya Rishi was not actually affected by the influence of the illusory energy. In the previous chapter we read how Indra Lord Indra became afraid of his position, and he sent many celestial beautiful ladies, as well as Cupid and greed and envy personified. He tried to dissuade Markandeya Rishi from his aim of attaining perfection. However, Markandeya Rishi was transcendentally situated due to his devotion, and the proof of that is in the verses that followed his austerities, that the Lord appeared to him personally and Markandeya was in ecstasy. He was offering obeisances and he was praying, offering amazing, wonderful praises, glorifying Naranarayana Rishi. So here in this particular chapter, he wanted to actually see the power of this illusory potency of the Lord. Mm-hmm. He was really brave. So suddenly he found himself in the pralaya, in the devastation of the universe, found himself in the middle of an ocean that filled the whole universe, and then suddenly he saw that there was a little boy on a small leaf who was floating on top of the ocean. And when that boy came close to him, he saw he had some amazing effulgence, and when that boy opened his mouth, he swallowed him. And then Markandeya saw the entire universe inside his body. So and when he saw that, then he was actually given the opportunity to return back to his ashram. So he was amazed how within few seconds he saw universal devastation, then he saw Krishna actually saved him from the ocean of the material devastation by swallowing him. And then within the transcendental form of the Lord, he saw the whole universe as it was. So he realized that this is actually a really amazing potency that exists within the Supreme Person. So this is more or less what we will be reading in the chapter. So the first few verses, the Lord was glorifying the sage, being pleased with him. And then Bhrigu Muni requested, Markandeya requested that vision of the illusory potency of the Lord. So generally speculators in this material world, they think that the Lord, or the source of everything, is actually powerless. They think that the absolute truth is powerless, and whatever power we experience in this world is just an illusion. They think like this. They think it's a temporary illusion, everything in this world. So they think everything, the perfection, constitutes into nothingness, powerlessness, basically formlessness, no personality. That's what they think. Sunyavadi, nirvishesh. So that's what their perception, through their gross senses, they think that this is actually the ultimate. So because of that, because they do not perceive the power of the Supreme Person, the energy of the Supreme Person, they think that since there is no Supreme Person who has power, that they are Supreme Person because they have some power, right? Like a man can produce many children and something like that, you know. Sometimes even human beings have illusory power. Huh? You can dress very nicely and you can present yourself as a rich man somewhere. You can cheat someone. You've got illusory power as well, but it's so small. So both men and women have illusory power. Sometimes women, ladies, can make themselves look more beautiful than they are, with makeup and so many things, with makeup and that, and delude the men in that way. So, if the small human being has power, you know, what to speak of the supreme source, what kind of power he must have. So we can actually meditate a little bit on that today to realize Krishna's power. Markandeya Rishi really wanted to see that. How is that possible? What kind of power do you have that it bewilders all the living entities? Prabhupada said that in this world there is, through the illusory potency of the Lord, there is a strife for ownership, and the stronger is trying to defeat the weaker, and everyone is thinking, if I defeat as many people as possible, I'll become more and more powerful and I will enjoy more. Now this is how the illusory potency in this world operates. One thinks that by gaining more property and more position and more power, one will enjoy more. Prabhupada said this is mirage in the desert. So when the deer, there is a deer in the desert sometimes, so they see a mirage which looks like an oasis of water. So the deer tries to go to that oasis, but the deer comes closer to that mirage. The mirage actually moves further and further, so ultimately the deer dies, unfortunately, in the desert. So, in other words, we have illusory power as well, and because we have illusory power, that means Krishna also has illusory power. We cannot say the absolute truth is impotent and everything that we experience in this world is just an illusion that actually the personalities, the variegatedness is an illusion that is just temporary, and the ultimate is oneness, where there is no variegatedness, no power, no consciousness, no communication, no desires, no activities, so on and so forth. So we have to actually approach life with a very serious attitude to understand how to get out of illusion. Because we see that Prabhupada explains, most of the people are trying to do that, to accumulate wealth and run after wealth and money and so on and so forth, with the dream of fulfilling themselves. But he said that actually blocks their progress to self-realization. The one who is running after material facilities with the aim of having fun, enjoying and being happy and fulfilled, one actually blocks his spiritual progress. Now something is very interesting that actually we feel unfulfilled in this world. Everybody feels lack of fulfillment. So because of that illusory potency, we think that those material acquisitions will make us happy due to illusion. So we want to acquire properties, we want to have many houses, many cars, many suits, many dresses, so many things, just to, you know, seek that happiness and fulfillment. As one scientist, sociologist, investigated human behavior for some time, and he wrote a book. And he wrote in that book something very interesting. He said, in the 70s, when you buy a home, in that home there was no wardrobes. You had to buy your own wardrobe, right? In the 70s. So in the 80s, when you buy a home, there was wardrobes in the wall already. So you buy the home with the wardrobe, yeah, the cupboards. And he said, now in the 21st century, you buy a home with a walk-in wardrobe, you see. So no wardrobe, like this one built in into the wall, but now is a walk-in, like completely you can walk in and check today which suit should I wear, you know, there's 20 suits, which tie, so on and so forth. So this is how the illusory potency functions, and people are becoming really bewildered by it, and they think the more I get, the more opulence I get in this world, the more I'll become satisfied. So this is the illusion which impedes spiritual progress, Prabhupada is saying. So Prabhupada also calls this an illusory curtain that also captures not only the small jiva, but also Lord Shiva is also captured by this illusion. Sometimes Lord Shiva also, with the example of Mohini Murti, he got bewildered. You know, he wanted to see the power of the Lord, and he got completely bewildered by Mohini Murti. So much so that he was sitting in an assembly of sages, and his wife Parvati Devi was there. And when Mohini Murti came, he was bewildered and he ran after her completely. So even Lord Shiva is so bewildered when the power of Krishna is manifested. Then another example Prabhupada gives is Lord Shiva once, when the demon Vrikasura wanted to get immense power, then he was cutting his flesh and he was like trying to cut his head off, and then Lord Shiva, he was worshipping Lord Shiva at the same time, Lord Shiva appeared before him and told him, "My dear sir, what are you doing?" He said, "No, I would like to get the power. If I touch someone's head, then it will crack." So Lord Shiva, because he's Ashutosh, he was very easily pleased. He gave him that power. He was bewildered. So he gave him that power, and then Vrikasura told him, "Now let me try it on your head. Let me try and see if it works. Maybe you cheated me, I don't know." So he started to run Lord Shiva to avoid Vrikasura, and that ultimately he couldn't find any shelter. He had to run to Vishnu. So when he went to Lord Vishnu, Lord Vishnu presented himself, and through his illusory potency he cheated Vrikasura. He said, "Look, you know, this guy Lord Shiva, he's a cheater. He cheated you." And he was laughing, you know, and he said, "You know, if you want, you can try it on your own head and you'll see he cheated you." So Vrikasura said, yeah, "I'm sure he cheated me." So this is one of the pastimes that are narrated in the 10th canto of the potency of Krishna. He is really powerful, you know, he can do whatever he wants to do. He can bewilder anyone. Prabhupada said that Krishna, actually Nara Narayana Rishi, they are the sons of Murti, Murti Devi, she was the daughter of Daksha. And then their father was called Dharma. Dharma and Murti were the father and mother of Nara Narayana Rishi. So Nara Narayana Rishi performed austerities and to show mankind the path of Dharma. And they produced from their body, Nara Narayana Rishi produced many celestial beauties. That is described in second canto. So Prabhupada explains that Krishna can produce unlimited amount of celestial beauties and he is not affected by them. Nara Narayana Rishi never got affected by these celestial beauties. So someone will say, "But what about you know, the gopis? Krishna danced with the gopis or the queens of Dwarka, wasn't he attracted by them? Wasn't he bewildered by them?" But Prabhupada says no, he was not bewildered by them. He says Krishna is Atma Pradip, he's self-illuminated, he's completely self-satisfied. So he only dances with the gopis to satisfy them, he's not bewildered, he doesn't look for pleasure himself. You have to understand that. He's completely satisfied, so he doesn't really struggle to get pleasure like an ordinary man. He's trying to approach the lady to complete himself, to feel satisfied. So, this is Krishna's potency. He is not bewildered by anybody. Amazing. So sometimes they say that Srimati Radharani is bewildering him. And this is a fact. She's his own energy. Perhaps we could say that Srimati Radharani is his own internal potency. And Krishna is bewildered by his own internal potency. In other words, he is bewildered by her, and also he is not bewildered by anyone, because Radharani is also him, his own energy. You see? So his Atmaram is completely self-satisfied. Sometimes we think Radharani is another person, separate from Krishna and different from Krishna. In this way, we think it's a mundane relationship. Nice, beautiful, and nice boy, girl and a boy in the picture there. But actually, it's Mother, Father, God. They are one. There is no difference between them. And at the same time, they have eternally separated themselves for sharing loving pastimes. This is Krishna's amazing internal potency. He can do whatever he wants without being affected. Simply to offer pleasure. And he also has expanded, you know, into these energies like ourselves. Prabhupada said that we are all expansion of Krishna's energy. In other words, we are one with him in that sense, but we are different because we are not as powerful as he is. You see, we are same in quality, but we're not powerful in quantity. So now the problem with this illusory potency, how do we get captured by it? When we want to imitate Krishna, when we want to be like him, when we want to be the owner, the proprietor, the enjoyer, immediately you become captured. You see, and you get a nice suit, you know, you're born with that suit, and then you get many other suits, you know, in life just to look nice, you know, so that you can perpetuate the illusion. Because of that desire to be enjoyer, proprietor, controller, manipulator of the energy. So, Charles Darwin, the very famous author of The Origin of Species, who misled the whole human civilization with his book, he also was bewildered by the illusory energy of the Lord. He couldn't understand how there can be a God who is all good, and at the same time there is so much cruelty in this universe. He was pondering the question, why is the cat eating the mouse, and so on and so forth. Why didn't God create perfect world? So he started to speculate. He was raised as a Christian, but he started to speculate. So he went on a trip with a ship all around the world. He came even to Australia, and he tried to study the species, the different species. And sometimes he saw on the islands, in some islands, he saw some species were the same species, but there was variegatedness. Like some were like with black feathers, birds, and some were with white feathers, with black. So he saw some variety. So he thought that this actually is achieved through breeding and natural selection. So he thought there was common ancestor, and nature by itself has created life. There was no God. So by itself, nature has created life. So he was so bewildered, he wrote a whole book on that. You know, he was so confused, and he confused the whole world. So you can see how the illusory potency, if you want to cheat and try to present yourself as very intelligent, you know, Krishna can give you bewildering potency to bewilder many other people. You see, and ultimately you are bewildering your own self. So I read one scientist recently. He said that Darwin was the person who actually wrote a book that made an atheist intellectually fulfilled. So he wrote the book, such a nice book he wrote, that he made the atheist intellectually fulfilled, because they couldn't explain themselves before. They had no Bible before, in other words. So Darwin wrote their Bible, so now they intellectually fulfilled. The biologist Richard Dawkins, he said that. So you can see how powerful is Krishna. If someone wants to be in illusion and wants to put others in illusion, immediately Krishna will empower that person. Bhaktirtha Maharaj used to say, these people are empowered for destruction. Yeah. So on the contrary, if you want to be like Markandeya Rishi, you can be empowered for service to humanity, to show an example of devotion to the Lord. We can use the example of Prahlad Maharaj, Haridas Thakur, so many examples are there of devotees who didn't want to be bewildered. They knew, Krishna, I know your bewildering potency, okay, I don't want it. You know, I know that you are a person, I know that nothingness is not the goal, and that nothingness is just another form of your illusory potency to build the deities. So I'm not interested in that. So it is ultimately our choice. Prabhupada said, my disciples are not afraid of Maya. They don't know what power she's got. So he said, this is what makes me happy. So in other words, we have to be very afraid, because this energy is very powerful. And in other words, to be afraid of Maya means to be afraid of the desire, your own desire, to become master. So if you begin to desire to become master, you know, Maya will capture you very nicely. I heard that Maya is an equal opportunity giver. She doesn't discriminate. Oh, you're from India, or you're from Australia, you're from Europe. No discrimination. Equal opportunity employer. Oh, you want to be a master? I've got a job for you. Come here. Come. I've got a nice job for you, and nice profit will come with that job. You'll enjoy like this. So, and the living entity gets bewildered. Yes, I will enjoy. This for the first time in my life, I can see such a beautiful opportunity. So we go so mad after that, you know. It's very powerful, you know. It's like you think, this is exactly what I wanted. She or he or whatever is so beautiful. Oh, she's got so much money, you know, nice house, her relatives are wealthy, his parents are wealthy or whatever, he's intelligent, whatever. So when we think like this, you know, in terms of, again, thinking that someone of this world will fulfill us and make us happy, that is Maya. You know, that is Maya. Even I heard many times Srila Devamrita Maharaj said that no living entity can fulfill you the way Krishna can fulfill you. So, even if people, some devotees maybe will enter into Grihastha ashram, or they are thinking of it, they should never think, my wife or my husband will fulfill me perfectly. This is Maya. Because if you think like this, it will cause a lot of trouble in your family. You cannot make another person Krishna. You see? No possible. Krishna is Krishna. So we have to understand our limitations. So perhaps there is one or two things that we would like to share. Prabhupada says something very, very interesting in connection how Krishna doesn't get illusioned. He says that just like a confectioner is never attracted to his sweetmeats, Krishna is never attracted by his own illusory power, you know, never falls under its control. Interesting. So the confectioner in India, Prabhupada says, he makes very, very nice display of sweets, but he's just not attracted himself. But the customer, when he goes like, wow, this is amazing, you know. So this is Krishna's power, you know. So you can see it in a small jiva, you know, that power, and then Krishna has it to unlimited extent. He is Atmaram. So in other words, we have to dedicate our life and energy to get out of the dream state of this material existence. Try to see things as they are, try to see reality, And how do we do that? Devihi Shagunamai Mamaya Durataya Mame Vami Praparente Mayametam Tarantite. If you want to really overcome this very powerful energy of mind, Krishna says, just surrender unto me and I will deliver you. No problem. There is no difficulty for Krishna because he is in charge of that energy. So we cannot really struggle on our own to defeat Maya. And we should not also try to enjoy Maya in thinking that there is happiness and pleasure in this material world. Maya is so powerful that sometimes, you know, Krishna looks unattractive. Krishna looks like not Krishna, and Maya looks like Krishna. You see, Krishna means the all attractive, you know. So we have to be very, very careful. Sometimes we are so attracted to Krishna consciousness. Sometimes we take nice prasadam, it's so amazing. We hear nice class, or we go on Harinam, Padamatana, Maharaj, or something. We feel fired up like anything, you know. And then something happens, and then we feel, you know, this Krishna consciousness is, it's not so tasty as it was anymore. Feeling little disturbed, I'm depressed, maybe I should just go and get a job, maybe I'll just maybe I should just study or get married or something like this. And you know, the mind starts to get bewildered completely, and this is again Maya's testing you. Do you want Krishna or you want me? Maya asks this question. So when you do service, every one of us is engaged in devotional service. Hopefully, all of us in this room. So, Maya is always asking this question. Do you want Krishna or you want me? You're doing what you're doing, but what is your aim? So if your aim is not Krishna, then after some time, you will give up performing devotional service. So, Bhakti Tirtha Maharaj said that Maya is actually Radharani's expansion. She says, I will never let any contaminated living being to come to my Krishna. She says like that. So even if we perform devotional service, but without devotion to Krishna, but it's just service and we want to devote everything to ourselves again, you know, Radharani will say, I will not let you to come to my Krishna. You have no place with my Krishna. Your place is the material world because you want it. You want to be powerful, perfect and happy on your own. You want walking wardrobes. You want chauffeurs to drive you around. You want to fly around like a bird on Boeings and all that. Feeling very powerful, progressive human being. Perhaps you want to be a demigod. I've got so much opportunity for you. It's a land of opportunity. Come, my dear sir, or my dear lady. So please, my dear devotees, try to understand that this opportunity you've been given is tremendous. It's amazing opportunity and it's indescribable opportunity. You cannot really comprehend the greatness of this gift that Prabhupada has given us. Perhaps at the moment you cannot comprehend how wonderful gift you have been given. Like sometimes a child is given, you know, some great gift, but the child doesn't appreciate and he may leave the gift on the street or just throw it in the bin or something like that because he doesn't know what it is. So don't ever think of leaving Krishna consciousness. You know, as soon you start to think of leaving Krishna consciousness, you should know this is Maya and it will produce suffering for you. Yeah. Never. Please, don't leave Krishna consciousness. Because if you leave, I'm going to try and find you. I will try and look for you. Yeah, it's very important that we are actually very concerned about each other. We shouldn't think, well, I don't care if this devotee falls down. Who cares? It's important that I don't fall down. This is also Maya, you see. We have to be so concerned about one another. We have to. This is actually real Vaishnav Sangha that you are concerned. I heard once Kadamba Kanu Maharaj, one devotee left, and Maharaj said, "I'll fast until he comes back." You see, and he fasted for maybe 1 or 2 days until that devotee got the news, and then he came back. Can you imagine? Huh? You heard that story? Yeah. Also, yeah, so you can see. So basically, you know, we have to give up this nonsense mind, existence, where we're just attracted to egotistical pursuits and selfishness and gratification of our senses. And, you know, I'm doing so much service of Crossways and book distribution, but I'm not happy. I want to feel happy myself. Maybe I should do something for myself. This is all my... You'll never become happy. Never. If you're not happy by doing your service, that means you're not understanding what this is. You have no idea about this. So, in order for us to understand Krishna consciousness, we have to become very, very, very humble and very sincerely beg, "My dear Lord Krishna, please protect me from Maya. I cannot experience any bliss in serving you now, but I don't want to go back into this struggle for existence, pretending, trying to bewilder others to exploit them." You know, because in the material world you have to put up a show to exploit another person and get what you want from them. You have to understand, this is, don't become an exploiter, become a servant. Thank you very much. Hare Krishna. Srila Prabhupada Ti. Any comments, questions?
How many people do you think they are? For example, so many devotees, you fix their Lord, you're just giving me
It's prayer. It's prayer. Vandanam. You just keep praying, "My dear Lord, I am completely unqualified." I read it actually 1 or 2 days ago, the same question, and was answered by Sachinandana Swami Maharaj. And he said, "Pray. We have to pray, my dear Lord, please fix your lotus feet in my heart so that I never leave the shelter of your lotus feet." And in fact, I think Brahma was praying like this. Brahma was praying, "I'm so unqualified, I'm so fallen, I'm so bewildered." Remember Brahma Vimoha Lila, how bewildered he was himself. He offended Krishna by stealing his cowherd boys and the cows. So through prayer he was able to regain his position of sanity, of devotion, of Krishna consciousness. Is that okay, Prabhu?
Perfect, Maharaj. He was completely
yes.
Even the snake word came by Krishna.
Yeah.
Through self-realization.
Through prayer, yeah. Bhakti Tirtha Maharaj, he wrote 4 books on prayer, the Vega 4. And apparently, according to Narottam Das Thakur's writings, there is 10 types of Vaishnava prayer. Not only one. 10 different types. And if you open the Vega at the front, the first page of the Vega, Maharaj enumerates them both in their Sanskrit term and in English. So it's not that it's only one type of prayer. There is 10 different types of prayer. And you know, we should become very focused on reading the prayers of other pure devotees to understand their mood, and then we can develop our own prayers towards Krishna, because he hears our prayers. He hears the prayers of everybody. And then in Isupanishad it says that he's the self-effulgent philosopher who fulfills the desires of everyone since time immemorial. So if you have any desire, Krishna will fulfill it. So if you want to be in Maya, Krishna will fulfill it in a way that if you pray to him that I want to enjoy something in this material world, he'll fulfill it in that way to purify you at the same time. You see? And so that you when you experience that, you'll never want to experience it anymore. So you go to such hell. In other words, hellish experience. So you think I'm going to enjoy it, but when you go through it, then you go some hell. And what do you call it? Fire and brimstone, you experience. And then you know, Krishna, I don't want this anymore. Thank you so much. I had enough. So prayer is very powerful. Krishna responds to your prayer. In fact, we are always praying. If you actually examine your consciousness, you are always praying either for Maya or either for Krishna. So learn how to pray to Krishna, for Krishna. For Krishna prema, for service. Otherwise, we are always thinking, how do I do this, how do I get that? That is prayer. We are constantly praying, you know, I want to do this, I want to do that. So Krishna is saying, oh, you want to do this? Okay, I'll fulfill it, no problem. It's like that. So everything that happens to us is his arrangement, actually, because of our own desire. So, yes, this is Prabhu. In this prayer, we have to become very, very focused on Vandana. Bhakti Tirtha Maharaja's favorite prayer is, my dear Lord Krishna, please force me to do what you want me to do. What you please me. Please force me. If it is against my own will, I give you the freedom to force me against my own will to do what you want me to do. He said, this is the highest prayer. Because he said, we don't know what to pray for sometimes. So we should pray, my dear Lord, please force me to do what you want me to do. And he says, to accelerate one's Krishna consciousness, one should not be afraid to lose anything in this world. Sometimes he said, if you pray like this, your wife may leave you, your husband may leave you. Sometimes you may become sick, terminally ill, you may even die. Sometimes may happen. But if that will accelerate your spiritual life, why not? Can you actually think like this? Or usually we say, okay, take it easy, Krishna, you know. I want to have my fun. I want to have my fun in the material world, and when I die, you can take me, you know. But not now. There was one story. I have to tell you this story. It's a very powerful story. You might have heard it, but maybe not. There was one sadhu. So that sadhu made a prayer. My dear Lord, I want to construct a big temple. And I want to construct this temple because I want to give so many villagers, so many people the opportunity to come and worship you and to come to you. So Krishna appeared before him and told him, okay, you go to the village and go door to door and beg the people for some Lakshmi. And you tell them, if you give me Lakshmi for this temple, you can go back to Gorakh immediately. I give you this blessing immediately. Now you can leave. So he went, there was some young couple, husband and wife, and he approached them and explained to them, no, I'm going to build this beautiful temple and wonderful place. So please, many people will be saved. You will do a great charity. Please give me some Lakshmi so I can build it. So they said to him, okay, we can give you some Lakshmi. And he said, you know, I'm going to bless you. You know, when you give me the Lakshmi, you can go immediately back to Gorakh to walk up and down. Immediately, now. So they said to him, hey, wait. No, we cannot give you Lakshmi. They said, you know, we are planning to have a child. So, no, this is too early. No go walk up and down yet. Okay. So the sadhu was thinking, my God, what happens here? Okay. He went to the next home. Then that family, they had child already. So he thought they already have child, so maybe they'll take the child with them back to Gorakh, you know. So he said the same thing to them, my dear, you know, friends, please kindly help me with some Lakshmi. I'm going to build a temple to help the people to go back to Gorakh. It's very important. And I have this great benediction that Krishna gave me himself. If you actually give me Lakshmi, you will go back to Gorakh today, the whole family. So they, no, we've got small child, we have to raise him up, you know, how can you say that, you know, we should go back to Gorakh now? No, they rejected him. So he tried few people and everyone rejected him. So he said, look, I'm going to go to some elderly people. I know there is elderly people. I'm sure they have some savings they'll give me, and also because they're elderly, they will be more inclined to go back to Godhead. So he went to them, and some elderly couple, and he said, look, you know, this is the situation. Krishna gave me this blessing. Please give some Lakshmi. I'll build a beautiful temple to save the people. And you can go back to Goloka Vrindavan immediately. No problem. So the elder couple said, look, you know, we just had a grandson now. How can we leave? We cannot. We have to look after the grandson. It's not possible. We cannot give you donation. This sadhu was completely devastated. He was thinking, what is this benediction that Krishna gave me? He's just joking with me. So he went back to his own bhajan kutir and he entered into prayer. And he said, my dear Lord, how can you do this to me? So Krishna appeared before him. And Krishna said to him, my dear sir, are you ready to come back to Godhead now? And he said, but my dear sir, but I want to build a temple. So that the others can be saved. So even he was not ready, you can see. So we have to actually examine our consciousness.
We are forced to leave the world.
Yeah. So we have to pray like this, my dear Lord, please force me to do what is right and best. What will give you the greatest satisfaction? What will please you the most? This is real prayer. And Hare Krishna Mahamantra means exactly that. But if we don't have this understanding, we may have a mixed consciousness and Mahamantra will fulfill your material desire as well. This is it. Mahamantra is a touchstone. Be careful. When you chant, if you're thinking of some nonsense, Mahamantra will say, alright, go experience your nonsense. So, yeah. It's so much nectar. Another thing Prabhupada said, something very interesting, and I'll end with that. He said, look, if you don't know the bliss in a relationship with Krishna, you will definitely strive for material enjoyment. So we have to understand what nectar is there, what ecstasy is there in that relationship with Krishna. And that can be understood by association with devotees, devotional service with serious devotees. And when we are again in good association, we can experience tremendous bliss, and if we are very humble and sincere. Remember, the door to bhakti is, the door to the palace of bhakti is humility. If you are very proud, you may be in the association of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, you will not experience any bliss. You see, like there is example, his own servant was bewildered by the Bhattacharis. Huh? Mahaprabhu's own servant, he had to drag him for his hair back. How's that, huh? So don't think, oh, if Mahaprabhu's servant was so fallen or fell like that, then what about me? The point is, this is Lila. The Lord is just showing that if you don't have humility, even if you're in his association, you will not be able to make advancement. But if you have humility now, you are already in his lila. This is Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's lila. He'll give you full protection. There were many other devotees there who did not get affected by the Bhattacharis or this or that. These were some beautiful gypsy ladies and all that. He didn't, yeah, many devotees didn't get affected. So that was just one instance. But the point is that even now you can actually be protected by the illusory energy. Whether you're in a male or female body, doesn't matter. Maya comes in different ways to block us. So the main thing is, we always have to remember, no one else can fulfill me as Krishna. I should not substitute anyone else with Krishna. And when you think like this, then even if you have to be in a family atmosphere and get married, most of you are young still, you know, if you enter that marriage with that kind of mood and mentality that this is a service to Krishna and I will maintain my vows and I'll serve my husband or my wife in that way and we'll raise a God-conscious child and we want to preach Krishna consciousness, that is very different. then you know falling in love and thinking this is the perfect match for me, the soulmate and all that, and is a heavy maya there, and that kind of thinking. So we have to be very humble, because if we are not humble, then the tsunami of maya can sweep us like anything. It's very powerful. You can see Lord Shiva was bewildered, Brahma was bewildered, so many people, everyone in this material world is bewildered. So only the devotee of Krishna, Markandeya Rishi, remained focused, steady, not bewildered, because he was fixed in devotion to the personality of Godhead, Krishna. He was not fixed in Brahman or some kind of impersonal aspect. Prabhupada, if you don't know the sweetness of Krishna, the ecstasy in the relationship with him, you will be attracted to so many material things. And you will see people who are Buddhists or Mayavadis, they cannot control their senses. They cannot, because there is no relationship with Krishna. Krishna is Swayam Bhagavan. He is the complete whole. So when the part becomes attached to the complete whole, then it's satisfied forever. Thank you so much for giving me an opportunity to share some humble thoughts. Hare Krishna. Srila Prabhupada ki jaya. Granth Purat Srimad Bhagavatam ki jaya. Gaur Premanande. Ananti Koti Vaishnava Vrinda ki jaya. Gaur Premanande.